All right, like I said, Frank is out today. He is a part of the Michigan militia, and he likes to kill deer. And so I am here because I don't like to kill deer. I grew up where we weren't even allowed to have cap guns at our house. Not that I'm afraid of guns or anything, but I just never got into going out and killing things and ripping its guts out. So, and I don't, if I liked venison, I probably would hunt, but I don't like venison, and so I'm here. It's okay. I want to pray, and then we're going to dig into this idea of run that Frank started us off on last week. So let's pray. Gracious Lord, we thank you that you are the God that you are, that you are the God that creation bows to, that we can worship and sing to, that you are the God that gives us a privilege to be called part of your kingdom, even though we don't deserve it. Lord, I pray as we look at your word today in the book of Hebrews that you would be challenging to us, that you would challenge us to stop and to think about who we are and about how we are living, and that maybe we would change because of what your word says and because of this cloud of witnesses that sits around you and watches how we live here in the world. Just allow our hearts and minds to be open as we look at your word and as we dig in, and let us be filled by you. It's in your son's name that we pray. Amen. So last week, Frank started us off on this series called Run. And it starts off, he read from Hebrews 12, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses." And last week he talked about Doc Doty. Doc Doty was an elder here. He filled in as an interim minister for a while, and he was Mr. Great Lakes. He helped Great Lakes get started. He was there forever. When I was a student back in the 90s, he was in the end of his time there, sort of just hanging out in his office, writing and so on. But he was a man of faith. He was somebody who people looked to as someone who lived the life. And you could look at anything in his life, and it oozed God. Today we want to talk about another person that has passed on who used to go here, used to be a part of our church, and that is Jeannie Brown. Jeannie Brown is the late wife of one of our elders, Colin. She passed away from cancer a few years ago, and her fingerprints are all over South. She was back in Kid City. I remember when we moved into this building, she was always in here, because she always gave me a hard time, a lot like my sister. She reminded me a lot of my sister. But she was always here getting ready for lessons, washing down the toys so people didn't get cooties and stuff week to week to week. And she was just a great lady. This week I spent some time with Colin and said, "Hey, Colin, tell me some things about your wife, some places where she allowed God to lead." And he shared a few with me. First one has to do with when her kids were little. She went through a rough divorce. This is a picture of the kids. Bring the house lights down because we have to see Nathan in this picture. You can go all the way down to black because he's got this weird thing going on with his tongue. That's awesome. He talked about when she went through a divorce. It was an ugly divorce. There was some infidelity on her husband's side, and it left her with no car, with a house payment, with two kids to care for, all these things, some credit card debt, and all these things that she struggled, "Okay, God, how are we going to deal with this?" She had help from her family and her friends, people at church. She was a member here back then, and people rallied around her. And Colin said that through all of that, she made sure to keep tithing first in her life, that God would take care of the rest of this stuff, and she made it through. He talks about how in that divorce there was some anger with the other woman that was involved in that divorce. And I want to read this. She had to forgive and say she was sorry for the feelings she was having and harboring towards her ex-husband and towards the other woman, because now there were two more children in the relationship. She had two kids with this guy, and this lady had two kids. And because her kids and these kids are going to come together, mom has to be at peace with the other mom. And so Jeannie knew what she needed to do. And even though she was angry and hurt, she went and she reconciled with the other lady. And I can remember it was at Sarah's graduation right before Jeannie passed away. Her ex-husband was there, and it was like a big family. They got along so well. So these are some spots where God led through her life. Another one. When she was, she worked for a Marriott. She was the manager at a Residence Inn, and she lost that job, and she needed a new job. And she landed a job doing collections. How many of you would love to have a job doing collections? Right? Probably right down there with working at a manure factory or whatever. A manure factory? This is what happens when I get nervous and they put a microphone on me. I have control. I will edit that out before it goes up on the website. She worked for collections, and she hated it. She had to call people who were down on their luck and be mean to them to get money out of them for what she did. She said, you know what? God's going to provide. I'm going to quit that job. And shortly thereafter, she got a job working for the state, helping people with financial aid. She went from an ugly situation to a great situation because she allowed God to lead. And that's the whole idea of this series, that we run the race. We live out God's story in our lives. And as we do that, we need to do well at that. Otherwise, we give a bad portrayal of what the story is. And we are called to something higher. So last week, Frank's point was that faith is really the only way to run. And in Jeannie and Colin's life, that's the way they live. Colin also said that when they had a hard spot, they would always pray, okay, God, lead us through this, and he was always, always faithful. So today we're going to look at Hebrews 12. Frank gave me the topic of running lean. See, I was a little offended when he gave me that. I'm like, are you saying I'm fat? Which he wasn't. It's just how the schedule worked out. But we're talking about the idea of running lean. So we're going to be in Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. I didn't have Frank's password to go and put this on YouVersion, but if you want to follow along in YouVersion, go to Hebrews 12, or if you have your Bibles, Hebrews 12. Let's read it. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that, and I put y'all up there because it's a plural you, and if we read it just a you, sometimes we think it's just me and the Bible, but it's us, y'all, so that you all do not grow weary and lose heart. The writer of Hebrews had something to say about allowing God to lead. If you read the book of Hebrews, it's this sermon on how to follow Jesus, because Jesus is the one to follow. It's not about us drinking and being spiritual babies. The writer of Hebrews says, no, we need to get over that. We need to get off the bottle. We need to grow up and eat spiritual meat and live. Jesus is the one that is greater than the high priest being the one that was the go-between between the people of Israel and God back in the Old Testament. Jesus is the one that has taken that place. He is at the right hand of the Father, and he allows us to engage in God. So this is what the writer says. And we're going to spend some time in this passage. We're going to look at three spots, hopefully maybe have a little fun in the process, make fun of myself a little bit, and we will see where that leads us. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. As I was reading and studying this week, the scholars that I looked at talked about this cloud, this throng of people. And so I put a picture of Spartan Stadium up there because Spartan Stadium is awesome. Holds 45,000 people or more than that? 60,000? I don't know. Whatever, it's big. Okay, it's bigger than here. I couldn't put U of M up there. Sorry, U of M fans, because we just can't do that. But the writer is saying, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Picture this giant stadium. The biggest stadium in the world is in North Korea. It holds 150,000 people. They use it for soccer games, and that's it. But picture hundreds of thousands of people, millions of people sitting around this playing field where you and I reside. These witnesses aren't people that are here now. There are people that have gone on. Like last week, Frank talked about Abraham and about Isaac. And if we think about the stories in the Old Testament, Noah, Moses, these people that went before, the disciples, James, John, Matthew, Mark, people that have gone on in history, people like Luther and all the other people there that my brain can't remember right now. They're all there as these witnesses, having lived the life, endured being the story, and now they're in heaven looking and watching and seeing how we are living. And the writer wants us to grasp that. That idea that these people are watching us, cheering us on. How many of you have ever been to a Spartan game? Okay? Most of you, hopefully you get the chance to experience that. When people start yelling, go green, go white, go green, you get sucked in. And I've never been a player on the field at that stage, but knowing what life was like when I played basketball in the seventh and eighth grade before I didn't make the ninth grade squad, okay? Yeah, it's funny. Run lean. Thanks, Frank. To have the people cheering us on meant all the world to us. So we have this great cloud of witnesses that is there, that's cheering us on, that have endured and carried forward. And as I was working through this, I had two questions come up. Does that energize you to know that there are these people that are surrounding in the spiritual realm cheering us on? Does that energize you, or does that intimidate you? And I would say it depends on the day. Sometimes it's really energizing, and sometimes when I'm not living the best that I should, it's intimidating. I think the people like Doc Doty are up there going, wow, we could do better. Let's go. Okay? So I think there's that tension there in this cloud, the tension of this heavenly realm that's watching and seeing how we are being God's story. But it gets harder. If we move along. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. If we think about this idea of run lean, the weight of this is there in that first line. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. We need to talk about runners for a minute because the scripture talks about this race that is laid before us. It's my belief that as Jesus sits in the upper room with his disciples and as he said, here is the bread that represents my body and here's the juice that represents my blood shed for you. He is passing the baton to his disciples saying, I'm going to be out of here in a little bit, and it's going to be your responsibility to be this kingdom and to carry it forward. Okay? As runners, this race that has been laid out before us is that, living out Jesus in our lives day to day, moment by moment. Just like we've heard how Doc lived his life, just how Jeannie lived her life. We are called to run that race. The problem with running, next slide, have you ever seen a fat runner? Okay, picture, I put this picture up, Chad Cronin, who was a youth minister here, we go to this conference every year called Catalyst. The first year we went, I was trying to be healthier, which trying is a relative term in that regard. And so the hotel that we stayed at had a treadmill, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to go work out. I'm away at this conference. It's sort of a refreshment for me. I'm going to refresh my body. And I went and I did 30 minutes walking on this treadmill. And it's one of those ones where as you get farther, it inclines a little bit, makes it feel like you're walking up the mountain, then it inclines some more, and it has all these things. You can program it to where it makes you feel like you're walking up Mount Everest or whatever. So I'm in there trying not to die walking on this treadmill. It's like 9, 10 o'clock at night. In this little room, you know, there's the weight bench and this treadmill, and I think there was a bike in this hotel. And I'm all alone. I'm like, all right, this is good because I'm about to pass out. Nobody's there. And I hear the door open, and I'm like, okay. And then walks, I can't remember if it was a guy or a girl, but they were buff and there to, it's like Josh. Josh, when we go away on trips, he works out because he looks like healthy. And, you know, we were talking about it the other day. He eats like apples and oranges and things for lunch, and Frank and I, hey, let's go get Taco Bell. I mean, that's, it's not healthy, but unfortunately, that's the life we live. So this person walks in and they're healthy, and I'm there walking on the treadmill trying not to die, and I just had these bad thoughts in my head. Okay, I need to stop and go away because I'm embarrassing myself because I look like that guy to this person that walked in the room. But if we're runners, we need not look like that guy in this race. Because if we're runners, we have to be ready to run, which we need to look like these guys. This is a Kenyan team of runners. If you notice down here on the bottom, the watches they won when they ran the marathon fast, because they weigh like 80 pounds and the wind blows them along. They don't even have to run. They're just like, okay. They're built for running, and they love to run. And as we read this passage that says, because we are surrounded by such a great crowd of witnesses, let us throw everything off that hinders and the sin that easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance. As I was talking about this with my family, we were at dinner one night, and you know, I was talking about this. My daughter's like, have you ever seen a fat cheetah? She's like, they're not fat because all they do is run. They have to run to eat. And if you look, cheetahs, they look like they can run. Not this guy, though. This guy. All I could, I looked for a picture of Garfield, but I didn't want to date myself. Is Garfield still in the paper? Okay, Garfield, the cat that just likes to eat lasagna and lay around. I would guess, all right, the new, I would guess that if we were to look at our lives spiritually, we're probably going to relate to this cat rather than the cheetahs. We're probably going to relate more to the guy looking like he's running, like he splashed water on his face so he could make the photo opportunity, rather than the Kenyan runners who ran the race and won the watches. So what do we do about this? We have to address some things. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. That word hinder is interesting because for me, if it hinders, it probably is sin, but the writer here doesn't make it be like sin because he lists sin right after hinders. So as I read scholars, they were sort of ambiguous on that, and so I thought, okay, what hinders us? What takes our time away? Maybe you struggle with video games, and I'm not knocking on you kids because we're going to beat up on me in a second, but, you know, video games. People love to play video games, and they spend hours and hours and hours. Maybe your hang-up is sports. Maybe you love to play golf, and that's what drives you. Maybe it's football. How many of you stayed up and watched the game last night and were like, wow, we could have played so much better? It seems to be a week-to-week thing with MSU football. How many of you have a problem because your phone distracts you? That's mine. When we're at dinner, I'll pick it up. I've got this game that I'm addicted to called Fix'em, which is puzzles. You have to beat times and do it in so many moves. I need to delete that game because it absorbs who I am. I find myself waiting. Oh, the time limit should be up. I should have 6 more tries at that puzzle. I need to pick it up and play it again rather than focusing on what I need to be doing. Maybe your struggle is money or the job. I can easily get lost in work because I do God's work. It's easy to get lost and do all that, and then I forget things like making time for my family or making time to rest. And so these are the things that hinder us, stuff that isn't necessarily sin, but that distracts us from being the runners that we need to run. And we need to engage that part of our lives and go, okay, God, what do we need to stop doing so we can do more for you and be more for you? But then it gets harder because there's that second half of the verse. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. As I was working on this, I thought, you know, we don't necessarily talk about sin that much in the church. I mean, we sing a lot about forgiveness, and we know that God forgives us, but, you know, Frank doesn't necessarily stand up here and go, hey, let's list out the sins that you have so that we can deal with them. If you're in a small group or you engage with some accountability partners, maybe you have somebody that's in your face going, hey, where did you put yourself at risk this week? What spots on the internet did you go that you shouldn't have? Or how did you deal with the struggle you have in anger? We, as God's story, need to deal with us so that we can live the story right, so that we can help others understand what the story is. Because if we're a broken story, we tell a broken story to somebody else whose story is broken. So I listed some things, and these are painful. You know, you have sin. I didn't put any pictures because it's just the realism is too much. You know, we all have sin, those things that we hide. Maybe you bury it down deep, and it's something that's there. Maybe it's something that happened 5, 10 years ago that you file away so that you don't have to deal with it. Maybe it's pornography. Maybe it's money. Maybe you struggle with anger or pride, wanting to drive and to be the best that you can no matter who gets in the way. Maybe it's one of the bigger ones like adultery or alcohol or stealing. We're broken people, and the writer of Hebrews is telling us to deal with those things so they don't hinder our running. And that's a hard thing to do because that means we have to say, I am broken. The thing about the church is, this is the safe place. As I was sort of putting the last pieces of this together last night as we were watching the football game, to me, the church is like the locker room or the practices day in and day out that get us ready for the time on the field. This is the place where you can come in and say, I'm a mess. Help me to put myself back together. Help me deal with these things that hinder me. Help me deal with the drugs that drive my life or the video games that I can't stop playing so that I can spend more time in God's word or do things for God. That I can deal with the pornography that drives me when I'm on the internet or that I can deal with my struggle to gossip about the person 2 cubicles down and complain about what they do because it hinders my wanting to achieve more in my life. If we're going to be runners, we need to deal with things. And the church, thank goodness, is a safe place for us to do that. The writer of Hebrews continues on and says these things. And we need to read the whole passage again, because it frames and helps us. Because we are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, these people who have endured and who've lived it out and have gone before us and are cheering us on now, because they are surrounding us, let us throw off what hinders and the sin that easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Here's where it gets good. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Scorning its shame, he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition for sinners, so that you all will not grow weary and lose heart. Jesus ran the race. He didn't just sit up in heaven and go, okay, here's how you should live. The book of John tells us that he moved into the neighborhood. He came and he put on our skin and he lived it to show that he cared and that he could walk the walk and that he wants us to walk the walk. He's saying that we can do this. He's saying that he is more important than the video game or the sin in your life or struggles with money or whatever your hang-up is, that he allows us to be made whole and new and to take on his story. If you think about it, this is something I went away to Catalyst again this past October, and one of the speakers talked about once a month he has a Job day. And in my head, when he said that I have a Job day, I'm like, you know what? I've read the book of Job. It wasn't good for Job to have a Job day. Because the book of Job goes, this heavenly court, the accuser comes to God and says, I bet you I can get anybody to turn on you. And God says, okay, pick somebody. And the accuser says, that guy Job, he's pretty faithful. I bet I could make him bend. And he goes and he takes away his family, takes away everything he has, gives him sores all over, and Job never bends. He gets grumpy at God for putting him through it, but he never bends. And this pastor was talking about going away and spending time in Job 40, where God sits Job down and goes, okay, I've heard you, you've endured a lot, but here is how it is. Were you there when I did this? Were you there when I made the world? Were you there when I set the beams of the heavens on their chambers? Were you there when I did this? And this pastor went on to talk about having to have perspective on the privilege to run the race. Because without Jesus coming and living and dying on the cross for us, we don't have the privilege. And now that we do have the privilege, we need to make sure that we don't squander it, so we're not like the chubby guy with the sweaty face and the photo op. We need to live like the runners, like the cheetah, the people that engage in the story and live the story. But to do that, we have to deal with our junk. And so we're gonna worship, we're gonna sing a little bit, we're gonna take communion. And as we head into this time, I want to challenge you. It's time to deal with junk. Around the room, there are going to be some people with blue lanyards, some of our elders, some of our leadership, some of the ladies of our church who want to pray with you and want to help you to begin to heal yourself. And you know, some of you may have been here for the last 20, 30 years, but you sort of got that thing there that you need to deal with, even though you know it's sort of buried in the closet. Because if we're going to run lean, we have to run lean. So we're going to sing. You're going to have the opportunity to go and pray. If you want to come up front here, there'll be a couple guys up here to pray and to get right with God If it's something that we need to talk more, we can do so. I've made an email. Help, is it help or help me? help@seekstudyserve.org. That email will come into me, and I will filter it out to the elders. If you have something you need to deal with and you want to sit down and talk, shoot an email. Church number is there, 394-3220. Frank will be back from hunting tomorrow. I'm leaving for a personal retreat this afternoon. You all can call all you need. Frank will be here to help you. I'll be back Thursday, and I'll fill in where I need to. In all seriousness, we want you all to be the best runners you can be. And as a church, me included, we need to heal ourselves so that we can run lean. So we're going to pray. Communion is all throughout the room. As you feel moved, if you need to come up and pray, if you need to connect with somebody, otherwise, communion is all around the room. The representation of God's Son broken and spilled out for us. I mentioned the upper room earlier. You know, as you come to the table today, think one of two things. The upper room, where Jesus is passing the baton to you like what kind of race is that? The relay race, that it's our part to run in the relay. Or if you want to think that this is the locker room or this is the practice where the coach is there to grab us by the shirt and say, okay, you need to do these things. This is what you need to work on because you got stone hands when I pass you the ball because of that thing in your life. So I'm going to pray and then we'll continue on. Move and become lean runners. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, we thank you that you are the God that you are. That even though we don't live the way that you call us to live enough, you give us grace and you give us love. That you call us out of the darkness that we all too often dig into your light. To be called your sons and daughters and to be put on that playing field that the great cloud of witnesses surrounds. Lord, as we move now to celebrate what your Son did on the cross for us, my prayer is that you haunt us with this passage, that we need to deal with what hinders us in the sin that so easily entangles us. Because we are only the best to you when we run lean. May you help us to be the story that you need us to be to the world around us. It's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.